Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out those articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We appreciate that a great deal. Tons of great writers and podcast hosts over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You guys want to be sure to go over there and check that out and see everything that is going on. As we have all heard by now, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, is extremely unpopular. In fact, she is so unpopular, she is polling at just a 28% approval rating. She is so unpopular, you have fake news CNN writing articles talking about how dysfunctional and unprepared she was for her term as vice president. I guess this is what happens when you sleep your way to the top and have never had to earn anything. Her trip to France was a complete embarrassment, and she was clueless every single time she had to answer questions. The French were not impressed, and neither am I. She's an absolute disaster, but let me kick off to my friend and co-host, Rob. How's it going tonight?
It's going well, Andrew. Glad that we could come on tonight and discuss our hot topics, as always. We don't have a guest in particular to come on, but you and I, we're going to hold down the fort. And so thank you all for joining us. There's a lot that's on tap, that's staring about in our country today, in the media, making the headlines. And as you mentioned, Andrew, Kamala Harris is one of those hot topics. I've always said that she was completely out of her league. You think back when she was running for the president in 2020. Now, everybody was focused on her. They said that, oh man, this is the person. You had some commentators on CNN that were saying, oh, she's the next Barack Obama. Well, that was before they said that, what is that doofus name in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, who wants people to think that he's Hispanic or Spanish or whatnot. He's not. He's just a white Irish boy around the way, a boy around the way from the neighborhood. He's a wannabe. That's all he is a wannabe. But they at first said that he was the next coming. But then when they looked a little deeper, they saw that there was no substance. And then all at once, Kamala Harris. I've got to admit, Andrew, earlier on, before she decided to run for the president, when she became senator, well, first she was the attorney general in California. I thought, wow, we've got to keep an eye on her because she checks all the boxes. And she came across as being really fierce and strong. But then upon closer observation, I realized that looks are extremely deceiving. And that is one book that you should definitely judge by the cover. Because once you open it up, there's nothing there. She's vacuous, just empty. And when we look at her trajectory, we realize that there was never, ever anything there. The only thing she had behind her pushing her was Willie Brown. He was pushing her literally, physically, fundamentally, every other Lee that we want to bring up. No, I'm not trying to, you know, slander her. I'm just speaking the truth. I mean, she's in politics, so she's got to be able to handle a couple of punches. So she never was ready for prime time. Never. So once Beto O'Rourke fell by the wayside and everyone focused in on her, there was a lot of this background noise that the media didn't want to come out as to who she really was. They were hiding the real Kamala Harris. So she goes out and she has Barack Obama saying, oh, look at her. She looks good. And people, oh, she's the next coming and she's this and she's a woman. And she's a woman of color. We don't know if she's Black. We don't know if she's Indian. She's Asian, but she's there. So as things moved forward and we started having the debates, oh man, she was on fire because she called Joe Biden the racist that he is. And that she was a little girl who was being bussed across town in California. And then, of course, she embellished the story also talking about freedom. And everyone thought it was nice. And that's when she introduced that cackling of a laugh. But everyone, oh, man, she's it. She's the it lady. And Barack Obama likes her. She's it. But then that fateful night took place when Tulsi Gabbard delivered a blow that was heard around the country, a blow that Kamala could not ever recover from. Now, granted, she did deliver a serious blow to Joe Biden with the whole race card, because once you throw that out there, it's there permanently. So he was on his way out after that. But then little did Kamala know that Tulsi was coming. And she delivered her blow as to how Kamala treated Blacks in California, how Kamala put them in jail, how Kamala withheld exculpatory information, evidence that could have gotten them off or would have reduced their prison sentence. Our girl Kamala, the person who's out there now saying, Black Lives Matter, I'm down, I'm hip. And I smoked a bong with Tupac and I danced to Tupac. All of that was hidden from people. But it wasn't hidden such that we didn't know about it. But we refused to look at it. We refused to accept it. Because we were so enthralled and drunk in love of a possibility of a woman being the president. Andrew, one day we will have a female president. I have nothing against women being in charge. Women have issues with them being in charge. I don't. I'm secure in my role as a man. The woman wants to be the president, so be it. Just make certain that you come correct and be prepared to fight. Be prepared to be in the game. And I've got to say, there are women out there that are ready. Christine Noem. I mean, there are women that are ready to take on this role. Do not doubt.
I mean, yeah, and not Hillary Clinton.
Oh, God, please, not Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's the reason why we're in this mess right now with the whole Russia collusion. Because, again, when you hitch your wagon up against the Clintons, get ready. It's a merry-go-round ride that never stops. And look at it. It hasn't stopped since he left the office. But back to my story. Strong women. There's a possibility that Winsome Sears, who knows, one day might prove herself to be able to take higher office. She can't be the president because she wasn't born here. Maybe vice president. But there are strong women that are there, conservative women. But Kamala is not one of them. So she stumbled her way through she didn't even make it through the primaries. She stumbled her way through the first part of the election. And then before we had the first primary, she jumped out. And what did she say? Well, they're not ready for a strong woman. Well, Kamala, if you show them a strong woman, they would probably vote for them. You just weren't a strong woman. Plain and simple. So she jumped out. Joe Biden proceeded. And they dragged him across the finish line, keeping him hidden with all his fumbles and mumbles and mishaps and whatnot. So when it was time to select a vice president, of course, Barack Obama said Kamala Harris. Now they completely overlooked Stacey Abrams, which to me is just hilarious. They looked over her. And how can you look over her?
Yeah, I was going to say she's hard to overlook. Huh?
Yeah, how could you overlook her? I mean, she's loud, she's obnoxious, and she's on the hefty side. But hey, they overlooked her. I'm just being honest here. They overlooked her. And I'm sure she was mad. But they completely overlooked her. And I mean, if you're talking about a Black woman, I mean, she's Black. I mean, I don't think you can't say that she's mixed with this. Now, granted, all Blacks are probably mixed with something. But with her, she would have exemplified the Black woman. Independent.
She was busy that night stealing the election in Georgia.
Absolutely.
Probably what was the case there. And Rob, part of the problem is the media puts Kamala Harris on a pedestal, except CNN as of late. And they let her rise to the top, making everybody think that she's so great. And then we've seen her get here and she's completely unprepared, does not know what she's doing. And at the same time, they demonize strong conservative women like you were talking about, like Kristi Noem. And I'm sure you haven't forgotten the beating that Sarah Palin took when she was running for a vice president. The media coverage, the difference between Harris and what Sarah Palin got could not be any more different. And Sarah Palin is a much more qualified candidate than Kamala Harris was.
Absolutely. She was more qualified. But just going back to Stacey Abrams, when you look at it, I have to admit, when she first came on the scene and I looked at her background, I thought, wow, she's impressive. And she will go far. But again, closer observation, you look at it and you realize that she had bought into all of this, these liberal ideas. She initially was a moderate and she had her head on straight and she had an impressive resume, but she bought into this liberal ideology. And then not to mention that she has checkered background with her taxes and all of these foundations that she's raising and she's paying herself millions of dollars. So she's out, she's been corrupt. And that's what happened. These people get into politics, they see the money and they get become corrupt. But back to our girl, Kamala. So Joe Biden, at the request of Obama, puts her on the ticket and they're laughing, saying, oh, we're gonna have fun, we're gonna have fun. But little did she know that Jill holds a grudge. Jill has not forgotten or forgiven Kamala for saying that Joe Biden is a racist or for calling out the true Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden, I mean, the guy's like 78, 77. He's past his prime. He doesn't know what's going on. When he does go out to speak, I think they're giving him vitamin B. They're shooting him up with something. The guy is not the Joe Biden that first entered the race. You can even look at him. He is aging. I would say like 20 years a day. Oh, I won't go that far. 10 years a day, he's aging. We just got to be honest. But our girl, Kamala, got on the ticket. They've flown her all over the world trying to impress people with, oh, this is our vice president. Look, we got a female vice president. But they fail to remember that she's an empty suit. There's nothing there. When she gets nervous, she laughs. She's 56 or 57 years old. And she's not comfortable in her skin. I think the only place she's comfortable is being on the arm of some powerful guy. She was on the arm of Willie Brown. She was on the arm of Montel Williams, the talk show host. So, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. You just have to know your role, know your lane, and stay in it. This is not a lane for her. When she delivered those crazy speeches during the Kavanaugh hearings to be the Supreme Court, everyone thought, oh man, she was just point on and she was like a prosecutor. No, she wasn't. She was behaving like someone who just got a script and she was just reading the lines. I saw nothing coming from her that was intimidating. Her line of questioning was out of place. But other than that, no. And now look at what we have. An empty suit, resident of the White House and vice resident of the White House. They're both empty suits. And now they want to say that it's because of racism. They're bringing that. Can you believe it, Andrew? They're bringing it back up again, saying that Joe Biden's staff, they're racist and that they don't like her. When she should just accept the fact that she overplayed her hand, and all these people claiming racist this and racist that, is bound to catch up with you and it will bite you in the butt. And that's exactly what it has done to her. It has bitten her in the butt, taking a big chunk out of her. So with her husband, Imhoff, running around being the laddie or whatever he calls himself, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and what do you think of Sheriff Joe, as Jen Psaki calls him, Joe Biden, immediately coming out and taking photos with Kamala Harris, and then the White House put out a statement immediately after the CNN article came out that things are great. Joe and Kamala are working together as a team. It just seems all very phony, just like the entire Biden administration has been. You can't believe anything that they're saying because they're just completely insincere with just about every issue that we've seen.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, the fact that Jen Psaki had to come out with that tweet that everything is copacetic with Joe and Kamala, it shows you that it's not. And why are they even listening to all this stuff that's going around, all these rumors about Kamala not fitting in well? Why did she feel the need to address it and address it on Twitter?
Yeah, they were really upset that fake news CNN put out that article. I have a feeling if Fox News did the same article, they would have just left it alone.
Oh, yeah, they would have. But also, you have to look at that. They want to make it seem as if, though, everything is rosy and beautiful, but in actuality, it isn't. Oh, and the point that I wanted to make is that remember when Trump would go on Twitter and say different things, people would just go berserker. But they can go on Twitter all day long. And folks, again, Twitter is not a major news source. But I mean, it might as well be if you're a liberal, because you look at what you got from CNN and MSNBC. I mean, they lie consistently. So Twitter coming up thinking that it is a major player, the only thing Twitter is major doing is pushing lies and then silencing the truth. Now, granted, there are some people that are completely out there in left field and right field that come up with some of the wankiest conspiracy theories. I mean, I get it, but it is not Twitter's job or responsibility to try and shepherd or chaperone that. You're just a vehicle. People say what they want to say. And if people don't have the common sense to realize that a lot of this stuff is nothing but lies, like Jen Psaki trying to come out and say, oh, everything is so nice between Joe and Kamala. Okay, then that's up to you. You can believe that lie. But the fact that she had to address it and on Twitter, of all places, just call the press conference, show Joe and Kamala out having dinner together with Jill. But they didn't do it because something is rotten in Denmark. The two aren't getting along and they know it. And then I heard someone say that, you know, she's mad also because Joe's thinking about running for the president in 2024. Are you serious? Dude, we've had enough of you. We've had enough of you. Retire, for God's sake. Just get on out of here. Man. But yeah, that's our girl. That's our girl, Kamala, who, you know, people now see that she just, that job just isn't into her. It simply isn't into her. And she brings nothing to the table. So she should just exit stage left and don't come back. But she won't. She will burn it all down, creating animosity and friction by saying that Joe is a racist. That's gonna, I mean, it's already seeping through. I saw Bakari Sellers the other day trying to defend Kamala. Like you said, they're mad that CNN wrote this piece. I think it was Chris Sizzola who wrote the piece. And he's a flunky also. I mean, it's like they're eating their own, which is what happens. They're eating their own. And while we're talking about this, do not doubt that 2 weeks from now, they'll all be sitting down saying, oh, look at us. We've overcome and we're parties and we're sitting playing in the same play box or sandbox. That's just the nature of these wackos. So, but I do believe that there's something behind this, Andrew, for CNN to write the piece. She obviously stepped on someone's toes. They also say, and I don't know how true this is, Andrew, they also say that she's a bit on the joy juice. That she has a problem with the joy juice. And she even said once when she was out, she was doing one of her cackling and she said, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, I had a little bit too much to drink. Now, was probably nervous energy or was it a Freudian slip? I think that she's probably turning back a couple at night. When she goes home, she's frustrated because things didn't work out right. And she's just like, hey, give me one. I got to take something to get through the day.
She's on the Pelosi late night snack, huh?
Pelosi late night snack. So, or and with the late night snack with all the different variety of ice creams. While we sure mortals, we're trying to figure out how we're going to pay the mortgage, how we're going to pay the rent, how we're going to put food on the table, how we're going to get by and with Thanksgiving or Christmas. But as our girl Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC said, all that money that we've been saving up, all the money, you know, that you got up under President Trump, because he lowered the taxes and made certain that there was more in your take-home pay. So all that money that you've like squirreled away, Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC said, oh, we can pay all these high prices. Don't sweat it. Inflation, blah, we can pay this. I mean, who would like welcome inflation, high prices? But they're telling us that it's okay. The gas prices, oh, don't worry about it. All that money you got squirreled away that you got under President Trump, it's time to use that money. This is the rainy day. It's time to use it. So Joe Biden taking his victory lap and signing that bill and like, oh, yeah, oh, man, and everybody coming out. And then those foolish Republicans who gave him the victory. I hope the Senate delivers a serious blow to them and whittle this thing down. Because I'm hearing that although they passed it, there's a possibility nothing will come of it. And I wouldn't at all be surprised. But I hope the Senate gives him a wake-up call and say, nope, not going to do it. We're not going to push this thing through. We're going to whittle it down or just completely get rid of it. Now, and you also know, Andrew, there's a second half of this bill that they're looking at also. So
yes.
There are many functions, many parts of this.
Yeah, the first part of the bill is infrastructure, where very little of the actual money goes to infrastructure. And then the second part of the bill is the Build Back Better agenda, which is just more of his socialist goodies that he wants added in. Just pretty much all the pork that the Democrats were asking for throughout the years of President Trump, and he wouldn't give them. They've got an opportunity to get it all here with Joe Biden. And then you've got these stupid Republicans who are helping him out and voting for it. It's just unreal.
Yeah, it is. It is unreal that they would give him that victory lap, whereas we, like I said, sure mortals are looking at how are we going to pay the mortgage, put food on the table, have a decent Thanksgiving that we don't know if they're going to shut us down. But they don't care. They're thinking that you can do it. Never mind it. You can do it. We got this passed. Everyone's going to be happy. And as I said on the show last night, that the people that are there, that are pushing this, they don't care anything about it. They're just as happy and as happy can be. We're the people who will be hit with it. And it's most unfortunate. What else we got on tap for tonight, Andrew? What else is going on?
Right. I was just going to say one more thing that you have to worry about passing all this money for supposed infrastructure is me living in Illinois. I've heard people that live in California say the same thing. And New York, I'm sure it's the same way. You see all these taxes constantly go up, and it's supposedly for new roads and new bridges. Yet the roads and bridges are as bad as ever. They're completely trashed. And we're paying more on taxes than we ever have before, and nothing is getting fixed. So we'll see if Biden's infrastructure actually does improve the infrastructure, or if it'll just be a lot of wasteful spending.
It'll be a lot of wasteful spending because, as I said, as I'm hearing, a lot of that money will not make it to where it's supposed to go. It'll just sit there. And of course, you'll have, because the Democrats are in control, when they send it to the Democrat states, they'll lose it and they'll do something else with it. And then people will wonder, where did all that money go? I mean, look at New York City. Our roads, as I said on the previous show, have been just completely messed up. But yet they're telling us, oh, we're going to fix the roads. We're going to do this with the subway. How long does it take to get that money to trickle down? How long does it take to get contractors to say, hey, we will do the job? And that's the problem with the government, because they're so busy trying to check these boxes of inclusion and diversity that they get people who are completely out of their league, who cannot do the job, and then the job just stalls. And then we find out later on that the people that were doing the job were mixed up with organized crime or were cheating, were embezzling, as opposed to letting someone like a Donald Trump organization handle the job and bid it out and then get the job done. I look at New York City, Woolman Rink Stadium, the skating rink. It had been closed and dilapidated for years. The city constantly bringing in people to work on it, and they couldn't get it done. Donald Trump, who wasn't the president at the time, said, let me take it on. Took the project on, the thing was up and running, and bam, making money. But of course, our dumb communist mayor, who's on his way out now, decided, well, we're going to take all the contracts from Donald Trump because of this so-called insurrection. It was not an insurrection. Will any of you please show me where it says that it was an insurrection? But yet and still, the media keep pushing that lie. The more they say it, people will believe it. But there was no insurrection. Now, I'm sure they will write this in the history books. There was an insurrection on January 6, 2021. But then when they go back and look at the files, at the records, and what the FBI said, they'll see that the FBI said, there was no insurrection. This thing was not planned. It was organic. It just happened. Now, that's not to say that the FBI, in cahoots with the Democrats, did not plan to mislead the people. Because if you look at the videos, you do see people clearly saying, come on, let's go storm the White House. Let's go storm the White House. And you would ask, well, why hasn't this January 6th commission called those people in to speak? Why haven't they said, we want your testimony? Have not called them in at all. But they're going to go after Steve Bannon. We're going to indict him.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more in our second half, but to put a bow on this Kamala Harris conversation, Rob, in your gut feeling, 2024, we're still 3 years away. You look at how unpopular Joe Biden is, you look at how he's deteriorating by the day, and then you look at Kamala Harris has been just a complete disaster as vice president. She's polling at 28%. It's hard to imagine any vice president has ever polled lower than that. Your gut feeling, will it either be Joe Biden or Kamala Harris on the 2024 ticket for Democrats? You remember Joe Biden originally said he was only going to be a one-term president. So if he decides not to run, will they let Kamala Harris be at the head of their ticket?
Well, anything is possible. He said that he wants to be a one-term president, but I think he's been emboldened by this ridiculous infrastructure bill. As to who will be on the ticket, I think that there will be other Democrats that will challenge them. If she runs by herself, there'll definitely be Democrats that will challenge her because they all know that they're weak. Anyone that the Republican puts up against him will win. That is the reason why you have the bloviator Chris Christie thinking about running, because he feels that, oh, if I get the nomination, I know that I can take Joe out. I'm
Right.
not voting for you, Mr. Bloviator, so you can just go back to your Twinkies and your donuts and your hypertension and your tummy staples and whatnot. I'm not voting for you. But yeah, it's anyone's guess as to what these two will do. But I could definitely see her trying to strike at it by herself because she does not like Joe. She does not like Jill. And Jill is probably feeling Joe's head up that you can do it. And when he's down and out, she's probably thinking that I'll run the White House. I'll do this. I can do it. It's a joke. And with Barack Obama, like they said, in his basement with his sweats on, calling the shots with Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice. And where is Susan Rice? We haven't heard anything from her. Well, because she's the quiet, silent person running things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It'll be interesting to see. In my opinion, Joe Biden is not going to be an option in 2024. Maybe unfortunately, I think his health is going to be so far deteriorated by that point. It's hard to see him still being able to give speeches and just keep up the schedule that the president has to endure, even though he's got the lightest schedule of any president that we've probably ever seen. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
I'm excited to talk about a new product from HealthyCell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you, as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so HealthyCell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from HealthyCell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
After Dark, Rob and Andrew. And when we went to break, we were talking about the lovely Kamala Harris, and we pivoted just a little bit to talk about some other things. But we're going to pivot again, if you will, and we're going to talk about something that I had mentioned or alluded to during the first half, Jan 6. You notice how they changed that around, Andrew? They don't want to say January 6, 2021. It's now Jan 6, because they want to make it sexy and all like, wow, Jan 6. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Jan 6 was not, as I said, this first half, an insurrection. I know that a lot of people are saying what happened shouldn't have happened, and it was a bad day. It was a black eye on America, on our system, and just on our democracy. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. And all these other words. And you have conservatives that are saying this also, like Lindsey Graham, whom I don't trust. Apparently, Lindsey Graham was standing in the hallway saying, telling the Capitol Police, "You have your guns, use them." Little wimp, the wimp that he is. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with him because sometimes he speaks truth to power and then other times he doesn't. And I think that when he's speaking truth to power, it's just for attention. But in actuality, he's just a snake in the grass. And when you pick that snake up, it will bite you. So, Jan 6 and this whole, the media, they're making it seem as if though this was 9/11.2. And they're actually saying that it was worse than 9/11. And when you ask about the spring, summer of 2020, oh, that was nothing. That was people fighting for their rights. Yeah, but what were they? Why were they fighting? Over the death of George Floyd, a criminal, a two-bit criminal? No, again, what happened to him should not have happened. Here, guys, please hear me here. Please listen to me. He was a human being who should have been shown mercy. Now, we heard that he had a lot of drugs, heroin, and a lot of other stuff cooked up in his system. But the way he perished was most unfortunate. Now, I know, Andrew, you and I, we differ on this. But I think that the cops should have just slightly, just lift your knee up. You should have known what was going to befall you or what was going to happen next. But I think that he got scared and was caught up in the moment, and he just couldn't get himself to lift his knee up. But anyway, George Floyd died. But what proceeded after his death, the riots, the lies, making him a saint, the huge funeral, scholarships, street names, changing America. Oh, George Floyd this, George Floyd that. How many people actually named their kid George Floyd after he died? Probably about a handful. If that, George Floyd, was it a saint? What happened to him is unfortunate. But in my book, when I look at this and I look at the damage that took place during the spring and summer of 2020, billions of dollars of businesses, black businesses, white businesses, but mainly businesses that blacks need, burned down because of George Floyd. It wasn't because of George Floyd. These people just wanted to act out, plain and simple. Because if they were so concerned about George Floyd's black life, they would be concerned about the black lives in Chicago, those innocent babies that are being killed. Think of the number of babies, kids that have been killed since George Floyd died in Chicago, New York, Georgia. And no one has said a damn thing about it. Oh, but we're up in arms. January 6th, that was horrible. We've got to get to the bottom of it. Liz Cheney, whom I've heard, her state, Wyoming, they're now saying they're not going to even recognize her, and rightfully so, because she's not a sinner, she's a loser. But she's going to get to the bottom of it. And she wants to make certain that President Trump never comes near the White House again. And Christine Todd Whitman, the former governor of Jersey, she's saying the same thing. And Adam Kinzinger, there, we've got to get to the bottom of it. And we want to make certain that Trump never gets to the White House. And then you have a few Republicans that are afraid of Trump. They're like, oh, we're just going to be quiet. We're not going to say anything. Meanwhile, the Democrats have launched their evil plan. And they're reaching out. They want to force people to talk. They want to break all the traditional rules, all the protection, all the conversations that presidents have. They want to break all that because we want to find out what Trump was saying. More than likely, he wasn't saying a whole lot of nothing. He wasn't saying any more than what we've heard right now. But they'll make you believe that, oh, it was really bad. It was bad. What he was saying was bad. So what do they do? Well, we're going to indict Steve Bannon, one of his closest advisors. Now, mind you, when Trump fired Steve Bannon, or Steve Bannon left the White House, they were all excited. Oh, see that he threw his own friend under the bus. And then Steve Bannon came out and said a couple of things. They're like, see that, listen to Steve Bannon. We like Steve Bannon. But then when they saw that Steve Bannon was still on Trump's side, bad Steve Bannon. We don't like him. We got to ruin him. So now they want to come after him. The Senate. They're going to indict him. Not the Senate, I'm sorry, the House of Reps. They're going to indict him. Contempt of Congress. Now, just imagine all the people that have gone before Congress and have lied day in and day out. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fraud, Dr. Frankenstein has lied over and over consistently. And no one has said contempt charges. All of these people that have lied.
Then you got Eric Holder.
Eric Holder lied. Fast and Furious. These people, I mean, they make a living out of lying. During the entire Trump impeachment trial, both trials, people came in and lied. Adam Schiff lied. They've all lied. And you watch. If Republicans take over the House and the Senate, they'll probably pass on it. I wouldn't pass on it. I would say just like Marjorie Taylor Greene. No, we're going to bring charges against you because you're sitting here in the people's house and you're lying. But no, let's just focus on Steve Bannon. Let's just like put the squeeze on him and see if we can get him to pop. Andrew, what do you think about it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I think there's a good chance that this could blow up in the Democrats' face. Steve Bannon had some interesting quotes after being released on bail. He said, this is going to be the misdemeanor from hell. He says, we're going to go on the offense on this. Every progressive, every liberal in this country that likes freedom of speech and liberty should be fighting for this case, is what Bannon said. And he's basically going to try and use this to attack Attorney General Merrick Garland, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and President Biden. And it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say if he doesn't just take the fifth for everything that he has asked when he eventually does sit down for his subpoena. And it's just like we mentioned the other night, it's just another attempt to try and get President Trump out of the picture. They're deathly afraid that he's going to run for president again in 2024, and they know how unpopular Joe Biden is. And the momentum is on President Trump's side, and they just want to try and smear his name as much as possible. As he said, they're going to go after him in New York. They're going to go after him everywhere once he announced his run for president. I'm looking forward to seeing what Bannon and the same fate's going to be coming for Mark Meadows soon, what their game plan is, because they are not stupid people. And I think that this is going to blow up in Joe Biden and the Democrats' face.
It has to blow up, and it needs to blow up. We've got to go on the offense, and we have got to take these people down by any means necessary and by all means necessary. Because as they said, they're not playing with us. For Liz Cheney to side with the Democrats and make some of the statements that she's made. And again, Andrew, you have a lot of other Republicans that are in that corner, but they're afraid. They want to wait and see what's going to happen. If they're successful, they will all jump on Trump and just like, hey, here it is. It's like Caesar and Brutus. And here's my knife. Let's just put him in. Death by a thousand cuts. That's what they want. They want to take him down. So I want to hear and see what Steve Bannon has to say. I mean, is he in jail tonight? Did they just bring him in? And what happened to him?
He posted bail. So he was released shortly after.
I'm surprised they allowed him to post bail. Because again, you look at some of the protesters from Jan 6th. That are still in jail. And if you look at some of the conditions that they're up under, they're political prisoners. Now, some of them are bad people. They did things that they should not have done, but the punishment does not fit the crime. And what they're doing compared to the folks that burned down buildings during the spring and summer of 2020, and none of them are in jail. The people who killed David Dern, where are they? What happened to them? And then so many others, they're out there just waiting to attack, waiting for the next, their own insurrection, which they caused during the spring, summer of 2020. And as you said, Andrew, a lot of them are waiting. This all ties into President Trump. They want to see what they can use to embarrass him and to take him down. Might be a bunch of much to do about nothing. He might have said some things that are probably that he shouldn't have said because he just speaks whatever he wants to say. That is the reason why he has executive privilege, so that you can't see that information.
Yeah, but, and what's so interesting to me about this is the burden of proof. They keep saying that they want to prove that guys like Steve Bannon, President Trump, Mark Meadows, all these other guys planned this insurrection. It's like, how in the world could they prove that? They might have mentioned and speculated that things could get out of control, but it's not like they can control 500,000 people. How in the world do they think President Trump or Steve Bannon or whatever planned this insurrection when they weren't there and there's nothing that they could have done or said to change what happened?
Right. Not at all, but they want to be able to hang their hats on something. They're looking at everything except the right thing. Again, what about the people who were saying, come to the White House? Why haven't they interviewed them? There was one guy who stood beside Ashley, what was her name? Oh gosh, I almost said her name. It just went right out of my mind that quick. And the woman who was killed. And they're not interviewing him? Why not? Why won't they interview that guy? He was right there when she got shot. And they're like, okay, no, we don't want to interview them. We want to interview President Trump. I mean, and that's who they're looking at right now. They want to interview him. They want to call him up. They want to call him up to embarrass him, if nothing else. That's what they want to do. They want to embarrass him, so that he can not, Ashley Babbitt, that's the name, Ashley Babbitt. There was a man that was standing right beside her. It's probably Antifa or Black Lives Matter. And we know that Antifa and Black Lives Matter did infiltrate this protest that day, but they're not concerned with that. They want to bring in Trump's inner circle because they're trying to send out a message that if you identify with him, we will take you down. New York City. Letitia James, the attorney general. She wants to run for the governor of New York. And I think she's biding her time and she's waiting. She wants President Trump to say he's going to run for the presidency again. And then she'll say, well, we're going to indict the president. For what? Oh, for nothing. They'll just make it up. They'll throw out some fake charge and make it seem as if though it's the bad. It's bad. It's real bad. It is not bad. It's made up. It's trumped up charges. The same thing that they're doing to Steve Bannon. And like you said, Mark Meadows. They want to force these people to come in and talk. And any judge that agrees to this and does not say, no, that's executive privilege, as opposed to saying, well, no, this is in the people's interest. The people have a right to know. Well, the people have a right to know that Joe Biden is a criminal. The people have a right to know what's on Hunter Biden's laptop. But I don't see you breaking down the rules to let us see that. The people have a right to know what happened or who killed JFK, but you don't want to open up those records for another 100 years. What's the difference? You see, it's just a scam. They want you to think that it's a big deal when in actuality it isn't. They keep talking about January 6th. They won't talk about the lies that they pushed about Russia collusion, which has completely been debunked by John Durham and the people that he's indicted. President Biden's foreign security advisor, Jake Sullivan, is all over this. They haven't named him by name, but they've alluded to him. Andrew McCabe, whom Merrick Garland went out and said, well, we're going to give him his pension. Are you serious? He was fired for cause. How are you going to go back and give it to him? And you look at all these Americans that are being fired because they won't take the vaccine. Are you going to give them a handout? Are you going to help them out? But this is the old boys club. Talk about white privilege. I mean, you can tie all this stuff in, which is what I love to do all the time. You want to talk about white privilege? You look at Hunter Biden. You want to talk about white privilege? You look at the privilege that Merrick Garland is giving Andrew McCabe, a known liar who was fired for cause. That's white privilege right there. But no one is saying anything about it. Joy Reid won't say anything about it. She's quiet. She's moving along. But she's looking for racists. She's looking for white supremacists. That's their latest thing. They're looking for white supremacists. Oh, and Steve Bannon, he's a white supremacist, so we've got to get him. All this whole thing with Jan 6, it was all about white supremacy. Yeah, but you got a knucklehead in the White House. So how could it be about white supremacy? You got another knucklehead number two, who's Asian one day, then black the next day, and then a colored woman on any given day. How is it about white supremacy? They can't tell you that, but they want to keep running that theme, that current theme, white supremacists, everything about white supremacy, everything is racism. At some point, it's like, what gives? But they don't want you to know that. And you have to be smart enough to look through it and say, this makes no sense. I don't have to like Barack Obama. I can say I don't like him. It doesn't make me a racist. Just make me an informed person, an informed American. And this whole thing with Jan 6 being about white supremacy trying to take over is a big lie. You had black people that were there. So where's the white supremacists? Oh, well, you had the Proud Boys. Yeah, but Antifa was there. Antifa burned down cities. Black Lives Matter burned down cities, stopped traffic. And you want to talk about white supremacy? It's comical. It is completely comical. But this has to stop. And the only way it would stop is if Steve Bannon and Mark Meadows pushes us to the limit. And they have ammunition to call out Nancy Pelosi, to call out Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, Adam Schiff, Merrick Garland. God, Andrew, we missed that bullet by a long shot. I mean, this guy came out so innocent and so this, and he's going to save the world. He should be on the Supreme Court. And you see what he's doing now? Look at the times he has been called before Congress and has fumbled and mumbled and has lied. There you go again, another person who has lied. He knew all about the letter that they were working on with the Teachers Association to go against parents who were concerned about the education that their children were receiving, teaching their children to discriminate and to be little racist, segregationist. He knew about it. But he lied and said, oh, I knew nothing about it. No one ever told me about it. And now we know, because of the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, that his fingerprints are all over it. But we're not supposed to know that. We're not supposed to see it, because they're busy trying to get to the bottom of Jan 6. And they have to indict Steve Bannon because he lied to Congress. Well, what do you think Merrick Garland did? What do you think Anthony Fauci Fraud Frankenstein did? All lied. But look the other way. We're too busy. We're looking at the conservatives. We're looking at the Republicans because they're mean and they're this and they're that. Everything that they accuse the right of doing, they are in fact guilty. And they've done it. Guilty. They're the bad ones. Guilty. Yet here we are, waiting for the next move. Who's going to do what? With Liz Cheney at the forefront, she's an embarrassment to the party. And like I said, Mark Meadows, he should have, if she's on any, not Mark Meadows, but Kevin McCarthy. If she is on any committees, he should kick her off. Just kick her off. She doesn't deserve to be on any. The same thing with Adam Kissinger. Kick them off.
Sadly, he won't, though.
And that's the reason why I don't want him to be the Speaker of the House. We don't need him. He's too weak. He is weak. We need someone who's strong, who's a fighter. We need someone who's going to make an impression. We need someone that when that person comes, they say, hey, wait a minute. They mean business now. They mean business. I don't think he has it in him. I just don't think I think he's too afraid. I think he's afraid of his own shadow to stand up and call these people out. I think he's too afraid. Now, before we, because we're coming up on the close, I want to talk about this. I had mentioned this before, and I knew this was going to happen. And we talk about, there are a number of things we could talk about, and we'll have to talk about it the next time. Andrew, I really wish this show was like 90 minutes, because there's just so much to cover within that time span that we have. But I read that the Democrats are pushing Biden to mandate that airlines require passengers to be fully vaccinated before they fly. Get a load of that. In 2020, December, Joe said, no, I don't think we have to mandate vaccines. I don't think we have to do that. And look at what he's doing now, having people fired if they're not vaccinated, pushing companies, corporations with 100 more employees, make it mandatory that they are vaccinated. Having OSHA, a group that has nothing to do with anything, to put out edicts that you have to be vaccinated to do certain things. Vaccinated to fly? Are you serious? This is communism. This is Hitler and all these other wackos. Dictatorship. And people are succumbing to it, saying nothing about it. You have parents that are like almost gleeful to give up their kid's arm to have a shot. So I'm sure a lot of those passengers, oh yeah, I don't want people on the plane with me if they're not vaccinated. And then you will get a group of people that have been vaccinated on the plane, and then they will spread the virus. Let's just be honest. The vaccine has its purposes, and it's good if you have an underlying condition. And even if you don't have an underlying condition, if you're yawning, if you're young and you take the vaccine, there's a possibility that you will get COVID. There's a possibility all of us will get COVID. Okay, let's just put that out there. And if you have a compromised immune system, it won't be as difficult. If you're young, if you haven't had the vaccine, you'll probably kick the thing. You know, you haven't heard anything about people that are asymptomatic. We don't hear about them anymore that, you know, they're carriers, but they don't have any of the signs. They've just completely got rid of them. What we hear now is about breakthrough, the breakthrough cases. You were vaxxed, you had all the vax, but you caught COVID. How the hell did you get COVID if you were completely vaxxed and wearing your mask? I thought they said that you were immune from it if you had all the vax. And now you need the booster. The booster is going to take you to when? Well, only take you for the next 2 months, and then, oh, we got another booster. Just keeps changing. The only thing they have to do is to come out and say, like Trump said, folks, it's like the flu. It's China's fault. You could possibly get it, but you know what? We're going to take care of you. But you know what, Andrew? They won't say it. Biden said, I'm sick and tired. My patience is drawing thin. Get in there and get that vaccine. Because if you don't, you can't fly. If you don't, you can't go to dinner. If you don't, we're going to make you lose your job. But he's supposed to be compassionate. So much for compassion, so much for bringing us all together. And this is who you guys wanted to be you wanted him to be the president, but he's the resident. Go figure.
Yeah, his pledge for unity was a complete joke. What we see in the January 6th committee is them constantly going after Trump supporters, President Trump and his cabinet, but we don't ever see them addressing why the people showed up there so angry in the first place. The fake news media has completely ignored a large percentage of the American people for so long. And then we continue to see that with Joe Biden and his vaccine mandate. Every American should have the choice if they want to take this vaccine or not. It should not be mandated. And to have to get onto a plane to show a vaccination card to get onto a plane is just another example of Joe Biden and the Democrats coming for our rights and coming for us. You either comply or you cannot participate in society is essentially what Joe Biden and the Democrats are saying.
Yep, that's what they're doing. If you don't follow their rules, they're going to get rid of you. And it makes you wonder how people are so, they easily give up their rights for something like this, just to prove that, hey, I did it. So I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do, but still, you can go out and you can still get this virus. And that's what I would be pushing back against, saying, but wait a minute, you told me this, and now you're telling me something else. It's only a matter of time that they're going to say next year, oh, well, you got to take another vaccine because that booster, it's only good for 2 months. So you got to go back in. I mean, like, do you people just like taking shots? Or is it one of those things that I did it and you didn't do it? And then the commercials that they're putting out there, Black people telling other Black people, get the vaccine. Gays telling other gays, get the vaccine. It is enough to drive you crazy. But this is where we are in society. This is where we are. It's unbelievable.
Sadly, you're right, Rob. I got a great recommendation for our audience. If you want to take care of your health, if you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Rob and I have been taking Healthy Cell for over 6 months now, and we are so glad that we are. It's a great product. It's a great company. You can head on over to healthycell.com and save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, the network is just filled with great shows, and that the website is filled with great articles. You definitely want to go to AmericaOutloud.com and check that out. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.